to Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ooh.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the night of TNA Bound for Glory, where we are bound to have some swearing and possibly some snoring depending on our reactions. This is going to be an interesting night. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am joining you on this show for much swearing and snoring.
Excellent.
And it could be worse.
Considering, I feel on this night we should have a voice of reason amongst us.
A voice of reason on this network? Since when?
Okay, slightly more reasonable than you and I.
Nah.
So, in that effort, we also have from the rack, Lindsay Ward.
I'll be doing snoring, just so everybody knows, because, yeah, I was already tired, and I hate to say this, but the show didn't help that matter at all.
I'm going to be honest and upfront here. You know, I'm not a fan of this pay-per-view, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it's TNA.
You had better things to watch, like people in rubber suits beating up cities.
I was watching Gamera, goddammit.
Like I said, you had something better to watch.
But
can you tell it's already going to be a great night?
But didn't you forget to introduce somebody? Somebody that normally doesn't talk? Somebody that, you know, actually has to do something tonight other than mourn the Eagles loss?
Shut up.
Hi, Rock.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is WTR Sunday Night, and I've brought along a co-host with me. You know, to put us to sleep, I brought the Godfather Extreme, Rob Parks. He is here in spirit. we're here tonight.
Has everybody on the network now been on the show now?
Well, well, no, we're missing a few.
Because, you know, the Canadian... the Canadian is not here tonight. He has no voice.
The Canadian's broken. Subway's missing in action. Will hasn't been on the network
broken.
In years.
Shut up!
What was that? What was that noise?
I thought Omega was the honorary Canadian.
Dig. Honor. Oh, I yeah.
No honor in being Canadian.
No honor in being Canadian. So, what the Canadian is here with us tonight, he is actually the one producing the show. I know. Shock and all. Tim Snyder is producing the show.
Yeah, because your
Wait,
internet
that means
is that
have to
shit.
Do something?
It's because Ron has my internet and I've got his.
Hey, Crypto Keeper. Okay. Quiet. Don't destroy your voice any more than it's already been destroyed, okay?
That is terrible. Now, folks, you actually do realize Tim has no voice.
Yeah, Tim has no voice, so he should shut up.
He's trying to. God, that sounds awful. He's dying. So tonight, we're here to talk about TNA Bound for Glory, Bound for Snore, whatever you want to call it. And it opened on Spike TV. Bound for Bankruptcy. It would open up on Spike TV.
Friend's joke, not mine.
It was a gauntlet match for Team Gauntlet for the number one contendership. It started out with Kazarian and Kazarian and Daniels taking on Hernandez and Chavo. And as we all sort of expected, Lindsay, Daniels, and Kaz beat the Mexicans.
No shock there.
Then, well...
The Mexicans did his job. What a shock.
Is it me, or is that die from Hernandez really old at this point?
Can he botch it just so we can have something new to see and laugh at?
Maybe. Then they brought out Eric Young and Joseph Park, and, well, Eric Young and Joseph Park beat Daniels and Kazarian, and they weren't happy at all, were they?
Well, of course, you know, it's Kaz and Daniels. You know, they're going to get upset any time they lose. But why are they losing in the first place? That's what I want to know.
That is
who doesn't get upset when they lose?
John Cena?
No, he just divorces his wife.
Oh, and... But yeah, they laid out both the... EY and Joseph Park after the match, or after they were eliminated, rather. And, well, Joseph Park was bleeding a little bit from the mouth, and, well, he had to be helped to the back, Lindsay.
He did, and, well, we all know what happens when Joseph Park bleeds. You know, he tends to fall into the abyss, wink, wink.
Which has sort of been the running joke for the last few days on the road trip. This then brought out Robbie E. and Jesse Mace, and of all things, Robbie E. and Jesse beat Eric Young and Joseph Park, and are now the number one contenders.
The flock? No makey logic? Cornette face? It I don't get it! Sure, they had their little special guest, Mr. Olympia. Yay, good for them. But why?
How is Robbie E. still a thing?
Because he is broke. To the back of his head.
They were years behind the curve on the whole Jersey Shore thing in the first place. Now he's Zack Ryder Light. And he's still employed somehow.
And yet, technically, having a more successful career than Zack Ryder.
Woo, 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 you know it.
Oy vey.
Mace is now dropping to 2 lines. It's amazing.
I'm getting scared, y'all. It's opposite day. Seriously, like opposite day. You're scaring me. Stop it.
I blame when you diet. I'm sorry.
You're becoming Jewish?
No, I'm... Give up pork? Never! The magic that is bacon shall never be given up.
Okay. I was concerned. Just checking.
Somehow I was supposed to segue into food, but I'm not going to segue onto food because we can talk about Canadian bacon. Yeah, let's talk about Canadian bacon. How it's not real bacon.
It's real bacon.
It's not.
Not bacon, at all. Back bacon. You know, poor bacon.
But it's still Canadian bacon. That's bacon what the label bacon. Says. But the label says that it's Canadian bacon.
I thought bacon that came from Canada made it Canadian, just like, you know, bacon that comes from America is American. I mean...
No.
All bacon, is American.
The bacon that comes out of America is still called bacon. The only time that you ever see a variation on the name bacon is when it is Canadian bacon.
What about Kevin Bacon?
I didn't realize it was six
He's a
degrees.
Different kind.
But it is 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, so it works, Tim.
Hey, dude, I officially connect to Kevin Bacon in 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, so suck it.
So we're talking about Canadian bacon, and you're connected to Kevin Bacon, and it all makes sense.
Because in the end, everything comes back to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Have you seen Kevin Bacon act? We're talking ham either way.
Very good point. So yes, we have new number one contenders, and then we'll get the shot later on in Bound for Glory. We open
by the way,
show.
Before we open, can I just say like how great the production work was on this pre-show? You know, all those live shots of a blacked out arena with like one spotlight on the stage. And JB giving away DVDs and Blu-rays. You know, this is like the most amazing thing for a pre-show ever. It's like, okay, you've got a pre-show. You'd think you'd have shit lined up. No, we're going to have 5 to 10 full minutes of Jeremy Borash giving away DVDs in a darkened arena. This is almost as that was almost as fun as the lights going out on the pay per view for the WWE last.
See, I don't know what time you're talking about because I never saw any black in the arena.
Really, it must have just been. This is the thing. Like, I don't know whether it might have been. I saw the in arena shots during the pre show.
Right.
It must have just been, I don't know, what they were sending out internationally as opposed to local?
Maybe. Who knows?
I wish I had a recorder now.
So we'll get into that stuff later in the show. I'll make it posted. We open up the show, Ultimate X, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Chris David, Jeff Hardy, all challenging Manic for the gold. Good start to the show?
Yeah. It's big, bouncy, and lots of diving. It's what
yeah,
tends to get people
excited. Spot Fests are always a good way of getting attention at the start of the show. There's not a preferably you build up to something like that, but it gets attention, gets the crowd going.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week on the show because we were not here because of internet issues. Were you surprised, Mace, to see Jeff Hardy in this match?
Yeah, because it seems like it's all like as Omega once put with Rob Van Dam going after the US title or the IC title. It for Jeff Hardy, the X Division title seems below him. He's been that type of main event guy for so long that to see him go backwards into the X Division sort of just doesn't quite fit.
Were you okay with Joe in the main event, in the match, rather?
It's Joe. He's that guy who bounces back and forth and has been an X Division mainstay since he started in the company. Plus, somebody's got to break in the ring. So, yeah, Lindsay? Thoughts on this one?
This was just okay. I was actually really...
Go ahead.
This was just okay for me. I was really actually looking forward to this one. And it was just, it was okay. It wasn't the barn burner I was expecting it to be, because it's like, you think about it, and it's like, you've got Aries, you've got Sabin, you've got Joe, you know, three mainstays of Ultimate X in an Ultimate X match, and then it's like, you've got Hardy who can bump like a monkey, and then Manic who can bump like a monkey in this match. It's like, I was expecting it to be, I guess, more faster paced than it was, and I don't know, maybe I still keep comparing the Ultimate X's of now to the Ultimate X of old, and I may probably need to stop doing that at this stage, because I actually was really expecting something.
You know what this Ultimate X had that past Ultimate X didn't have?
A ladder. Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, wasn't like...
It completely defeats the point.
It's like, you know, it's Jeff Hardy in a match. So what does Jeff Hardy do in a match? He goes to his mainstay, which is a ladder. It's like, dude, it's an Ultimate X match. You don't use ladders. Like, I guess nobody explained that to him beforehand.
To the best of my knowledge, you weren't supposed to use ladders. But then again, as I said in our production chat when you asked that question, it's TNA. They have a nice little habit of changing the rules on a monthly basis.
I know, but still, it would be nice to see Jeff Hardy like not go to a ladder in almost every match. I don't know, it's the ladder coming out really kind of sort of killed it, because it's like then that sort of defeated the purpose of the post and the rigging above. And yeah. I don't know, I guess it almost took something away from it, because like that added edge of danger, which sounds really wrong.
well, that's the thing about Ultimate X, is in order to get to the belt, you have to climb these big steel towers, and then you have to crawl across the rope. It's a hell of a lot harder and a hell of a lot more dangerous than just climbing a ladder. You know, and that's when the match gets interesting, when you got two guys climbing those ropes trying to get each other off, or when one guy's on the ropes and everyone else has to figure out some way of getting him down before he gets to the belt. It creates different and interesting scenarios, and that's why the Ultimate X stands out in the first place. You just throw a ladder in there, then all the ropes are doing is holding up the belt. They're not adding anything else anymore.
Yeah, it felt like this whole match was... And there's nothing wrong with this. Please don't take me the wrong way when I say this. But this whole match felt really extremely safe. It didn't feel like anybody was taking really any huge risks. Like, don't get me wrong, there were some nice spots in this match. But overall, this felt very safe, and it was really very slow.
I think the biggest risk in this match was... Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I think the biggest risk in the match was someone coming out in a gimmick that used to be called Suicide. Which, I keep thinking, why didn't Suicide and Homicide have a tag team?
because the world would have went to genocide. Anyway.
But they could have got Sabu, then they'd have all three.
The homicidal, the suicidal, the genocidal.
I don't know, it's just, I always expect the opening match of a pay-per-view to really set the tone for the whole pay-per-view, and I will admit, this did set the tone for the whole pay-per-view.
It's a tone, alright, in an interesting way.
It set a tone, it set a pace, and I mean, I hate to talk bad about it, but I didn't enjoy this match as much as I wanted to enjoy it, and they really tried, but the finish was just weird. I didn't like the fact that they pulled the ladder in, but otherwise, and it was slow, but other than that, it was fine.
Talk about the finish.
It was weird. you got Saban on the outside after taking some bump. I turned away from the TV for a minute, and it's like, okay, he's out there. Then all of a sudden, you got Velvet in the ring, distracting Jeff Hardy. Saban shoots up the ladder like, he had a rocket up his ass. And fumbles about trying to get the belt, which makes Hardy chasing him look absolutely fucking retarded. It was one of those out of nowhere finishes that usually would be very exciting, but there just seems to be no real logic to this finish. We're gonna have Saban come out of nowhere and grab the belt. Yay.
Well, Lindsay kind of said it. This really did set the pace, because if we're gonna, you see it more and more as we discuss this. It seemed like every match had some twist to it, where TNA was trying to be very clever and do something really unexpected to finish each match, and I don't think it ever worked.
No. This was just, it was one of those things where you're like, wait, what? And is it just me, or did it seem like Manic missed a cue? Because he came in almost like, because it looked like he tried to break up Saban grabbing the belt, but he came in like 5 seconds too late.
Well, yeah, he actually had to climb the structure and cross the rope.
But that only proves Omega's point, though. Bringing the ladder in just made the match not seem right overall. Because if it was, Velvet's distracting Hardy, there's no ladder in the ring, and Saban, hand over hands it to the belt, then there's your excitement, because then you've got, Jeff on the ground trying to grab Saban, and then you've also got Manic Suicide Peroxide, or whatever the fuck you want to call him, coming in to try and grab him. It would have worked. But because the ladder was there, it was just, wait, what? This was a very blink and you missed it finish.
But that finish led to Chris Sabin winning the X Division Championship once again. So we're back where we were when he won it a few months ago. Coming out of this, Daniels and Kazarian came to the ring and basically told they were the best tag team in the biz like this. And, well, we then got some Eric Young action, Lindsay, and, well, then shenanigans occur.
Yeah, they did, and it was funny because EY is standing there and he's like, you guys created a monster, and I said it in our production chat, so Abyss? And, 5 seconds later, out walks one Abyss! Joseph Park's brother. He must have come along on the road trip. Wink,
must
wink.
Have.
Totally. He was probably the one that called AAA for the van to, actually bring them gas as opposed to hitchhiking.
There you go. So,
Mace, in the trunk.
Yeah, so Warrior's in the truck. So the TNA Television Champion Mace made his big return.
The what made its big return?
The TV champion. It's Abyss.
Wow. It's been that long since I've... Yeah, pretty much. It's dead on, actually. I completely forgot that the TV title existed.
Remember, it went to the Abyss with him right after Slammiversary.
And it probably stayed there, too.
Well, what do you think of his return tonight?
Near Halloween, yeah, it sort of makes sense to bring Abyss. I'm now interested to see how they play it off. I also want to know how Abyss got to Bound for Glory. Was he hiding in the trunk of the car with EY and Chris? Oh, Joseph, sorry.
Maybe that's where the Abyss is in San Diego.
I can't even remember where they built Abyss from.
Is he from parts unknown?
He might be from parts unknown. That would make sense.
So, well, then he could have brought the Undertaker back. He could have brought the Undertaker and came back with him then.
No, Kane is under Bray Wyatt's house.
Death Valley.
Isn't Death Valley somewhere in parts unknown?
No, it's to the west of it.
Jeez. Maybe Abyss got a job with Papa John's.
That would actually be funny. I'm trying. You'd find they'd never get a wrong order, ever.
No.
Mm-mm.
Even if they make the wrong pizza.
Jeez. How do you get tips so big? I don't know. I just. They answer the door and throw their wallet at me and run.
Except for me, who would just, you know, slam the door in his face and run in, you know, let him have the pizza. Because he terrifies me. Anyway.
Anyway, so Abyss lays up both Daniels and Kazarian. Oh my god. Good moment?
Hmm?
Good moment seeing Abyss return and laying up Bad Influence.
Yeah, to pull him out for Bound for Glory, it is kind of nice to see him again.
So we move on, and since Bad Influence can't get the tag team title shot, somebody had a tag team title shot, and that's Robbie and Jesse, and they took on James Storm and Gunner. And, well, it was an interesting match that, well, some new tag team champions?
The fuck?
I would say that. Like, yeah. Really? Was I seeing things, Mace?
I had to watch the when they showed the replay, I had to watch that with a magnifying glass to make sure it was right. It was like the what? I think even like people in the arena are sitting there going, "What the fuck is going on? Like, did something happen? Did someone forget to kick out? Wait, what? This doesn't make any sense."
What do you think, Lindsay?
I did call Storm and Gunner losing the titles because, well, they're just kind of sort of a slapdash tag team and that, you know, could hold the belts for a little while. As far as Broman's winning it, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like you're pushing Daniels and Kaz with Ego. You're pushing Park and EY, but you give it to the two guys that you're not pushing and that nobody cares about? That makes no sense. Like Omega said it, they tried to do a twist. you know, where it's they did the unexpected. It's like nobody was expecting Bromance to win, so they won. Nobody was expecting them to win the tag team titles, so they won. And it's like, I'm sure in TNA's mind, they're going, hey, this is going to be brilliant. But to everybody else, it's like, what? That makes no sense whatsoever. Because it's like when I saw Bromance win the Battle Royal, it was like, well, I guess Storm and Gunner are going over. Because they're not going to put the titles on Bromance. There's no way. But apparently, there was. I don't know. This just, this to me didn't add up. It didn't make sense. They could have done something much better here. And they opted not to. But it was
so
what
does this
it was.
Mean I get...
Hope Go ahead.
So does this mean I get to revive my line of shirts of Sense Motherfucker? Do you make it?
Yes, it does. Although Storm did get a really nasty gash in his leg. I hope he's okay. Getting hurt. And he was actually bleeding blood, not alcohol, so that had me worried.
Yeah, but it's Storm. A couple of beers, he'll be all right.
Yeah, true.
So, Robbie, E, and Jesse, are you your new tag team champions? I
Omega.
Guess it's better than the best.
I seriously thought tonight was going to be the night where I start drinking.
Dude, I would have paid to see that.
So, with that, so we have the new tag team champions. Now, to what, all right, what's even more confusing moment of the night, we had the Kurt Angle Hall of Fame induction, and well, long story short, Sting inducted him, but Kurt turned it down? What?
I didn't think he could do that.
Did he seriously turn it down?
What a twist? Question mark?
I don't know.
I would have thought that if you're going to turn down your own Hall of Fame induction, that you do it, you know, when they announce your Hall of Fame induction, you know, like 3 months ago at Slammiversary, as opposed to, I don't know, the night after they give you a nice fancy banquet and they've made a big deal about you for months on end, and then you walk out there and you're like, yeah, screw you, I'm not going in your Hall of Fame. Peace. I'm out of here. It's just...
It's sort of it could also be playing to the fact of what's happened since. You remember they announced he had the Hall of Fame induction, then he got the DUI and all that type of stuff. It's just, yeah, and as he said, and we've got a quote, the truth is I have let myself, my family, and the friends down, and the fans down, by not living up to my real potential and the standard that you have set for the Hall of Fame. Which is why I respectfully decline this Hall of Fame induction. So that could be sort of like the whole thing of, I went, I had the DUI, all that type of stuff, I've been in rehab, I'm not worthy to go in the Hall of Fame. Which sort of makes sense, but still, why not deny it when he came back? Why not deny it before the Hall of Fame, like the banquet? Why wait until the actual night of the pay-per-view to do it, though?
Yeah, that's
weird.
The whole thing. Like, he had plenty of opportunity to say, I don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And they instead opted to do it on the pay-per-view, which is obviously a big twist, you know, to probably get you to watch Impact on Thursday. But it's, if you can see my face there, yeah. This was this was just really confusing. It was really odd, and it was kind of like, basically, it almost felt like Kurt was flipping a gigantic middle finger at everybody. And I know he wasn't, and I know that wasn't the intent, but that's what it felt like. Because, like, they made this huge deal about Kurt Angle going into their Hall of Fame and all this stuff, and then he's just like, yeah, I'm not going in. For reasons that are understandable. But, yeah, it just, this was, again, one of those, what? Moments.
Screw you, I'm waiting for a call from Vince.
What's your reaction, Omega?
I'm sorry, I'm not paying attention at this point.
Kurt Angle denies induction to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. See, that, and it seems like I'm so far behind and lagging in the call that it takes forever for you to even respond to me. I don't know. I still find it to be a joke that TNA even wants to have a Hall of Fame, even if they are inducting at the pace I think WWE should have been inducting. But I don't know. It was just a weird moment. You know, just I really couldn't figure out, like, well, why you're inducted? Like, there's a speech and you did this. I don't know.
The point was monkeys.
Monkeys.
It makes just as much sense as anything else they booked.
This is very, very true.
He could have at least worn a suit.
Well, he wore the suit last night. He came out as good because, well, he has a...
He could wear his gear under the suit? Just saying.
Anyway, taking a break, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back after this. Gotta send her to rehab. She found out she's got no soul, but it really doesn't bother her. White trash queen, American dream. Oh, what a role model. Throwing a fit, making a scene like no tomorrow.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
My fellow Wild Talk Radioites, for weeks we have heard Rock and Lindsay debate about who is the mole. Now, all this fuss is done based on things that we say on shows like WTR Sunday Night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, has been leaked by a mole in our group. Well, some of this is true. There is a lot said that when we go off the air, and that's also typed in our production chat that also gets leaked to the WWE. So with that in mind, I claim today that the mole is... TJ Omega. That's right, people. TJ Omega. Think about it. Where is the WWE Performance Center? Florida. Where is NXT filmed? Florida. And where does TJ Omega live? That's right, Florida. The devious mastermind has a location to give all our knowledge and secrets and ideas directly to the WWE without leaving a paper trail that I, for one, will not stop trying to prove until it has been proven that TJ Omega is the mole. You can always listen to the programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That way you can find out what ideas the WWE will be stealing next. And TJ Omega is the mole.
Every
every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
I'm Sanjay Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all the time.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After seven... long years. Finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Mace with Lindsay, Rock, and the Mole Omega. So, we're going to get into the women's side of things now with the Knockouts title match. ODB, the champion, defending against Gail Kim and Brooke. I no longer have a last name. I don't get it, but okay, why not? So, I can't remember this one at all. Lindsay, you got an idea?
Yeah, I do. And I was really actually looking forward to this one because I was praying it was going to be good. And it had its moments. But after about 5 minutes, I really kind of wish Brooke was not in this match. And it was just Gail and ODB because that would have made it so much better. So I think Brooke should just kind of sort of stick to being eye candy and that's it, because that seems to be what she's really good at.
Yeah, she does that role quite well. Again, I don't remember much about this one. Like, it was on. I remember looking up and we had that awesome Kong wannabe come and do something.
Lady Tapa, she distracted ODB to allow Gail Kim to pick up the victory and win the Knockouts title.
Uh-huh.
Which is a travesty.
Yeah, no, ODB should keep that belt.
She should totally keep that belt just because I want the shenanigans between ODB, EY, and Joseph Park to continue.
Well, they'll still continue the shenanigans either way, but just means ODB doesn't have the belt.
I know, but I love that she calls it the knocked-up title. Not the knockouts, the knocked-up.
Yeah, she's always called it that for some unknown reason. I guess it's just redneck?
I guess it's just redneck? Well, you know, to be fair, Taryn Terrell is knocked up right now, so maybe it has a strange curse to it?
Yeah, that could also be possible. Somebody research that. So, Omega, did you pick up anything during this match, or were you too busy watching your...
He wasn't destroying Tokyo. Gamera's a friend to children.
He's a big monster. Either way, he's going to cause some sort of damage.
True. Not as much damage as the other guy.
Very true. So did you get to see this match, or were you just very distracted?
No, I didn't catch much of this, and what I did is just meh. You know, Gail Kim still ranks as one of my favorite women in the ring, but honestly, it downplays her abilities in the ring so much to have, you know, generic Amazon number 812 in this industry help her out now.
Yeah, it's true. It's not like she's got any friends around anymore, you know. Wasn't she doing something with... I want to say Mickey, but that didn't
Are
work.
Are you asking me?
She wasn't doing anything with Mickey. I think she and Tessmacher were working together at some point. She might have been doing something with Victoria at some point, but Gail's been on her own for a little bit now. So she hasn't really been working with anybody, but she and Mickey had this great chemistry, especially when Mickey was doing that really bitchy role right before she left. Like, Gail and Mickey together, oh my god, that was fantastic. It made me cry that we're not going to get any more of it.
Yeah, it just seems like their Knockout division is starting to go through that period where there's nobody around to be in the division.
Yeah, they've experienced high turnover in the last few months.
So yeah, that happened. I just find, like, this is, at this point in time, I think was where I really had my major gripe with the pay-per-view, and this is a point where you could really start to feel the drag. You could feel that this pay-per-view was really going slow.
Yeah.
They didn't really book many matches for it, though, did they?
No, not really.
I could kind of see why they dragged it out, because considering they only do 4 pay-per-views a year now, it's kind of amazing that they didn't build up more than this.
Yeah, it's very weird that they don't build this up a lot more. But then again, I think the fact that they decide to hold, you know, pay-per-view titles or pay-per-view titled Impact shows sort of kills it a bit. Whereas they should be going long-term planning instead of still doing their short-term booking.
Well, they tried that before, and that sort of didn't work out.
Holy crap, I can understand a sentence from Rox.
I know, right? It's amazing. I think that had to do with Tim hosting the call.
Wow.
I would assume. That's all right. Amazing.
So what did you think of all the boobies jiggling in the ring?
They jiggled a lot. Best way to put it, they jiggled a lot.
So the best part of the match was the jiggle physics.
Exactly. So you mentioned Gail Kim won the title, right?
Yeah, it was mentioned. We're pretty much ready to move on.
Okay, moving it along, we get into what probably was the match of the night, if you don't consider the main event match of the night. Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode. What do you think, Mace?
Slow. Again, it was the theme of the show. It went slow. I understand that they were trying to tell a story, but at this point, they just totally lost my attention. So it was like, great wrestling, good wrestling between the two. But it was so slow.
It was slow to start, but it did pick up somewhat. You could tell Kurt's been on the ring for, what, 3 months?
Yeah. Yeah, Kurt's stint away from the ring and the ring rust associated with it sort of was a bit evident in this match.
It was indeed a bit evident.
Give Kurt a month or so to sort of work everything off and put this match on again, you'll get a 5-star out of it, easy.
Oh, I would agree. What do you think, Omega?
I'm pretty much with Mace on this one. I mean, it was obvious Kurt was a step behind where he usually is. It just dragged. And they were really trying. They had some good exchanges going on, and they had some good counters between each other, getting one hold into the other. The pacing was just... ugh. And Mace pretty much covered it. I don't know what else to say. It was just a really slow match for these two.
Then I'll throw it to you, Lindsay. What do you think?
It had its good moments. There were some really nice counters going on, especially when you had the battle of really the submission holds. That was really nice. But overall, yeah, this was a very slow match, and it didn't help that I'm tired from working overnight and that Once Upon a Time was on. So it was one of those things that, from what I remember of the match, it was decent, but it was very, very, very slow, very methodical, which is fine if you're into that kind of match, but it didn't... You were expecting more, especially from Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle. I think a lot of people walked into this with really high expectations because we know that we will get a really good match out of these two. And this was just kind of sort of, eh. It was, okay, you know, we're going to take it easy. Like, that was kind of like what the whole pay-per-view felt like, was it was just, we're just going to take it easy, we're going to take it slow, we're not going to do anything too big or too risky. We're just going to kind of sort of go through it. And kind of, it almost felt like they were going through the motions in some cases. And that's kind of what it felt like here. They were just being really, really, really safe.
You mentioned really, really safe and you're not taking any risk. Then we go to the finish of this match. Angle slam off the top rope. Bobby Roode comes crashing down, basically on Angle's head. Angle's down, Roode's down. The ref almost counts to 10. And then Roode gets stumbles up, falls back on Angle for a 3 count.
Could be possible that they were covering this. You see the way Angle goes down, head gets hit hard. I think Angle was knocked loopy for a little bit, and it's like, oh shit, let's take it home now.
They hung on it too long if that was the case. It seemed like they planned that from the beginning.
Yeah, it's also possible.
Jeez, what bugged me more was, again, this was another match where TNA was trying to be really clever and overthought themselves quite a bit. You had this spot where Angle has the ankle lock grapevine on, Roode can't get to the ropes, he looks like he's passing out, the ref raises his hand to count him down, and that somehow makes his hand go far enough
That was a clever spot, though. I will give him that. That was clever.
Yeah, but it wasn't... It was, well, if you're watching at home, it's kind of a clever spot. If you're in the crowd, you're going, what the fuck just happened? Because it would have looked like the ref pulled his arm to the rope.
And I think some of the crowd did think that.
Oh, yeah, they made the reaction. Yeah, they reacted to it in a way they really shouldn't have.
So, Bobby Roode wins. Kurt Angle looks like he's going to be stretchered out, but he's going to walk it off. Do we think he's really injured? Is this a bad thing for Kurt Angle to come out? Is it a bad thing for him to at least come out somewhat injured when he's now off of everything, in quotations?
I'm not sure if it's good to actually have a storyline injury when he's already been out of the ring for so long. Because that just makes it seem like, well, your time's up. You know, clearly you can't hack it anymore. Which, if that's what they're going for, fine, but they got to play it up properly, and that could be tricky.
Could it be something that Angle came back for Bound for Glory because he had to honor his obligation, and maybe we see him depart for a little bit just to straighten the last of everything out before he comes back full time? Because he may not have finished everything having to do with rehab, having to do with the DUI and all that other stuff, so he could still be trying to clean that mess up, and then maybe it's, look, dude, you're booked for the Hall of Fame, you're booked for Bound for Glory, you've got to show up. So, you know, he shows up, he does the thing with the Hall of Fame, he does the match with Roode, you know, and they book the finish where basically Angle is, you know, re-injures his neck, and either he's forced to retire or, you know, he's forced to take additional time off to deal with other stuff. Because do we know when Kurt Angle's contract is up?
It's not for a while. I think he signed a couple-year extension last year, possibly.
Because you could have it where possibly Angle is forced to retire due to his neck injury, and maybe he's the one that sort of stands up against Dixie. Like he and Sting, or I don't know.
The Mafia runs wild once again.
Yeah.
It's possible. So Bobby picks up the victory, and, well, with Kurt possibly taking time off, they're okay. They have someone to take his place. Ethan Carter the third ace. or better yet, Norv Fern? Farnham? Something to that effect? Mace, Pokemon over there.
Boo!
When he first came hopping out, I thought it was Zach Gowen, but then I saw two legs, like, shit.
Pokemon, go catch it. Right over there.
Ooh.
Yeah, you gotta lose two hosts if you keep going like that, Rock. It's just gonna become an episode of The Rock.
I've been resisting all day. Do not tempt me.
Exactly. You have no idea how hard it is to resist the call of the Pokemon right now. And Lindsay, you're not helping.
Sorry, that just happened to come up. I'm sorry.
So yeah, I'm with Gang Kittens in the chat room. Who the hell thought it was a good idea to hire Derek? I had a cup of coffee in WWE. Bateman.
Who thought it was a good idea to make his debut on your biggest pay per view against the most obvious jobber in the history of jobbing? They made people pay money to see that.
Probably less people than we think, but
they took time away from performers that were actually good to put that on their biggest pay-per-view. This is supposed to be their WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can't disagree with his logic. He's got good logic.
This is like if Wade Barrett debuted at WrestleMania against Spike fucking Dudley.
Or it's like Brodus Clay dancing at WrestleMania. It sort of was there.
No, because that was at least mildly amusing.
We're just missing the sassy black women? So Ethan Carter the third one. Yeah.
And not a fuck was given by all.
You know what, honestly, you know, him just debuting as Dixie's nephew, you know, with her backstage, is like, all you had to do was really just associate those two together. He didn't have to have a match. You know, it was just, he's been saying he's Dixie's nephew, so maybe you see him hanging around Dixie all night, you know, helping to further get across evil heel Dixie. I don't know, but yeah, no match.
They could have just had Dixie in the ring saying, you're introducing my nephew, Ethan Carter III. Have him come out, cut a promo, and fuck off.
Did you really want him cutting a promo?
The promos are more entertaining than that match was.
She's got a point.
1.2 Lindsay, I suppose. Move on and talk about Sting and Magnus. It was a match, and
Sting, you're stealing my sayings again, Rock.
Sting is too old to do the deathlock.
His knees don't bend that well these days.
Right from the get-go, I raise a warning flag anytime a wrestler decides to perform in a t-shirt.
Well, he's been performing in t-shirts for about 2 years now.
That doesn't help.
Like, you would think he would get some sort of gear to cover up whatever he's trying to cover up.
No, he's got to shill his merch.
We'll use some logic here, if that was given last night.
Why start now?
Oh, this is the logic I got from Subway last night. Sting was supposed to win this match so he'd be built strong to fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
How high was Sub last night?
I don't know.
He realizes that Sting and Taker are in two different companies, right?
I pointed that one out multiple times. Yeah.
And I'm with Kane Kittens. If anything, this match proves that Sting and Taker shouldn't happen, as it's still 5 years too late.
But going back to the match itself, Mace, good, bad, somewhere in the middle.
But slow, boring, I needed a nap. Like, this... No. Sting. Dude. Steve. Steve, my man. Hang up the boots. Please. We loved you in the 90s. We really did. You know, it was good to see you around in the 2000s. Bit of a comeback. It's all good. You've made your big, you know, multi-million dollar one-year contracts. You've made your money. Hang up the boots, Steve, please. For those of us that still give a shit, please, you know, take that lucrative Legends deal from Uncle Vince, get your Hall of Fame induction, and retire, please.
Accept the Hall of Fame induction, don't do it. Accept it.
Yeah, pretty much.
they were trying to compare this matchup to matches from the past, like Sting and Ric Flair, where they Ric Flair passed the torch to Sting. So, was the torch passed tonight, Omega?
Was there a torch there, really?
Sting's the old veteran, Megan Knight's the new up-and-comer, there should be a torch.
This could have been about Ultra Magnus from the Autobots, and I wouldn't have cared.
That's a lie. You would have cared just a little bit.
Well, yeah, because if it was, it would be, oh my god, Sting's wrestling a 40-foot robot. This is fucking awesome.
What about you, Lindsay?
If this was supposed to put Magnus on the map, I think they need to reboot the GPS. I mean, this was again, maybe I walked into this pay-per-view with high expectations because they did a really good go-home show for this pay-per-view. And I was thinking, okay, this is actually going to be a really, you know, a potentially good match. You know, you have Magnus. Magnus should be able to carry Sting to a good match. And, you know, the torch will pass from Sting to Magnus. And because Magnus is the future of TNA, that's pretty much what he's been pegged as at this stage because they're not building anybody else. So it's Magnus is the guy. If this was meant to make Magnus, they need to go back and do it again because this was not good. This, like May said, this was very slow. I don't even honestly remember anything from this match. They lost me within 5 minutes, and I hate saying that. Like, I'm trying to find something positive to say, and I just can't because at this stage it was like, oh, it's Sting and Magnus watching it for 5 minutes. Yeah, okay, back to Once Upon a Time.
Yes, yes, let the hate flow.
I mean, it's just, like I said, I had really high expectations for this match. Really for all the main events, because they did a really nice job of building them. And I was sitting here thinking, good God, the go-home is better than the pay-per-view.
So, in this battle, Magnus beats Sting. So, torch must pass, and sort of, I think we're on the road to a Magnus heel turn as he sort of gave Sting a handshake after the match, but it really wasn't much of one. We then get set for our main event. Bully Ray, AJ Styles, no DQ for the World Heavyweight Championship. Let's start with you, Omega. What do you think?
I was mentioning this to a friend of mine who wasn't watching the pay-per-view, so I was kind of giving my own play-by-play, and at one point I mentioned this looks like a Bret Hart cosplayer versus the backyard version of the NWO.
Okay.
This one fell apart. This was AJ Styles in the role of John Cena. This was Dixie interfering in the match with no rhyme or reason to do it. It's just as a reminder of how god awful she is as a heel. It was an okay match, it's not a match I would expect on a Bound for Glory. Like, the only thing that really made it feel like, well, this is a big deal match was AJ committing suicide on this, and then ripping up the mat and exposing the wood, which, you know, it's just little spots they did just to make it look a little bit bigger, but overall, just something about it just didn't feel like there's a lot on the line here. It just felt like another match.
You mentioned AJ Styles killing himself. He did a springboard 450 through a table on the outside and missed.
Oh, no, no. He got all of it. He missed Bubba.
He missed Bully. That's what I mean, yes. So we had Garrett Bischoff run in. We had Ducks run in. Yeah, that was the run-ins, and Dixie Carter. Was there, Lindsay? Thoughts?
I'm going to be completely honest. My feed died right before this match. And I didn't find another one, so I will have to watch this match at a later time, and I will let you know my thoughts on it, probably on Thursday, if we do the show on Thursday or Wednesday, because I'm seriously wavering on if I want to even go to Impact if it's here in Salt Lake. After this
that's
show.
Saying. All right, throw back to you, Dennis. React.
This was a match. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was a match. It didn't feel like a main event, I'll tell you that much. You know, they did some big spots, yeah. But just didn't have the feel, really. Bully pulling the ring apart just made me realize exactly how that damn thing is constructed. Flexi beams over gigantic wooden planks. Ow, no wonder that thing has no fucking give. And that's the thing. Flexi beam rings are supposed to give, like, are meant to be like trampolines. It's those boards that make it stiff as hell.
Right.
Just to break the fourth wall there for a minute. But yeah, it just doesn't... I don't know, this just didn't feel like a main event. It could have something to do with, like, the last few weeks. All I've seen is Dixie Carter berating AJ Styles, putting him down, treating him like trash. You know, this is what happens when you bury your number one contender. And he doesn't have the popularity level of a Daniel Bryan. This is what happens when you take a standard mortal man and bury him. It just doesn't make people want to care. They tried so hard to get people to give a shit, and I think by that point, even the crowd was not really caring. They just wanted to go home. Yeah.
So after all the shenanigans, all the run-ins, and all the almost screw jobs, the Spinal Tap is hit, and AJ Styles is now the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Alley contract.
Gee, how CM Punk of 2011 of you?
So, yeah, AJ Styles is your new TNA heavyweight champion. I guess that's a good thing.
I guess.
It continues the story for Thursday. Because now the question is AJ going to live up to his promise to make Dixie pay, in quotations, or does Dixie have something up her sleeve to get the title off of AJ or get it back from AJ without having to re-sign him?
So we will see how it plays out starting Thursday on Impact. So that was the pay-per-view. Was it a WrestleMania? Was it a Backlash?
It was slightly above Battlegrounds, I guess. Not by much.
Battlegrounds wouldn't have put a spotlight on Derek fucking Bateman.
Where would you level it, Lindsay?
I put it at a battleground. This was just okay. You know, for everything that they hype Bound for Glory to be, it was lacking what it's been in the past, and it's really lacking what it should have been. I mean, you and I said last night, this show needed to be 5-star, and it was only 2, at best.
Yeah.
And that's giving points for attempted creativity and for the wrestling that was done. Because the guys, to the credit, all the credit to the guys and the girls, they did go out there and bust their butts, which, bravo, thank you for that. But this, just the way it was done, the way it was booked, the way it was paced, no, this was way too slow. This felt like an impact, is what this felt like, a very long, drawn-out impact.
I'll ask you, was it better or worse than Destination X?
Destination X is better.
And that was free.
Yeah, the free pay-per-views that they've been doing have been better than this.
So, here's
the thing with that whole thing. I was talking with Chris, who's a Lords of Pain column writer, during this event, and he's going, people are charging, like, they're charging people $40 for this, and I'm like, yeah, no wonder people are going for illegal streams. Like, your free shows, your impact is a lot better than what you're putting on the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. It should, in wrestling, it shouldn't be that way. I know that they still make, you know, marketing revenue and all that off the advertising, but pay-per-view is supposed to be your big sell. That's why the WWE pay-per-views are always considered, you know, the be-all, end-all of their drawing power. You know, that's why if WrestleMania doesn't make over $1 million buys or whatever it is that they do their averages on, they get upset. TNA need to have that type of mindset of, we need to make sure that we're putting on the best product, especially on Bound for Glory, which we're calling our WrestleMania, our big trademark show. When that doesn't deliver, they need to start going, okay, we're going back to the drawing board.
You can see this is a company in flux. It's a company changing directions. Right?
Oh, yeah. It most definitely is changing directions, but at the same time, you don't try to jackknife the truck over the cliff.
Well, they sort of started to do that, so it'd be interesting to see where TNA goes from here, because there's a lot of stuff brewing with them, and it's not all positive, with shows being taken off the road, TV being taped back in Orlando.
Yeah, can they incorporate some of the Resident Evil sets into the production, please? I saw a walkthrough of that thing. Some of those sets are impressive.
So, that's our, you know, grades, as it were, for the pay-per-view. Now, let's go over who did well at Pick'em. I will say this, Tommy, you did terrible. You went 0-7. Now, on the opposite end, the winner of the Pick'em was 4-3. And that happened to be Omega.
Mister, I'm going to spitball it 5 minutes before the pre-show.
I don't want to do the picks. And you do the picks, and you, well, did better than everybody else.
But still, it's a 4-3, and somehow that still won?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, 4-3 is like middle ground for a WWE pay-per-view prediction.
Yeah, do you see what I mean about TNA trying to be too clever in its finishes?
Amy and Vincent went 3-4, Subway and Rob and myself and Brent went 2-5. Lindsay, Mace, and Tim went, and Shane went 1-, Tim, Mace, and Lindsay went 1-6, Shane went 1-5. So, there you go.
I got one right? What the fuck? Which one did I get right?
You got... I'm sitting here watching the pay-per-view. I'm like, well, there goes that pick. There goes that pick. There they go.
You got Magnus. Water, both water. Of you got Magnus right.
Huh.
That was like the only gimme on the whole show, because it's like, if Magnus doesn't go over, he's DOA.
Well, if you think that was a gimme... Why did the Canadian pick stink?
when the Canadian can talk again, he can answer that.
He can't even tell what bacon is, okay, Rock?
Okay. Good point. Hopefully he'll return to the show at some point down the line. But speaking of picks, we're going to make some other picks right now. And that's for Hell in a Cell next week. Send picks to me at wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. Hell in a Cell's next week. Yes, we're doing another pay-per-view show next week. So get ready for it. Currently what's on the card is three matches, so we'll go through these quickly. Hell in a Cell, CM Punk Ryback versus Ryback and Paul Heyman Omega. Break this down for everybody.
Down?
Mm-hmm. Break it down. Elaborate on it.
I know what breaking it down means, but you just described it.
Talk about what's built up to it. Jeez. Preview.
Jeez.
Preview. Give some thought. Analysis.
You know what? You're the host. You break it down.
No. He's the host. Actually, I'm just the producer. He's the host.
No, tonight you're the host because it's opposite day. You actually have to do Here's something for once.
Okay, so,
I hate you. Anyway.
So Punk wins this match where he gets to pick the stipulation. Mm-hmm. And he chooses to put the match in a Hell in a Cell with Paul Heyman in the match as well, instead of having a match where CM Punk gets chairs and kendo sticks as legal weapons, Ryback has to wrestle the match mummified in duct tape. You'd pay to see it. I know you would.
Definitely.
Yeah, can't deny that logic.
That's the thing. I never understand. Like, okay, you can pick any stipulation for the match you want, okay. I'm going to lock myself in a cage with this 350-pound meathead. Are you sure about that?
Yeah,
and I want yes, and you know what? I want a distraction in there too.
Yeah, but you, but here's the thing: you could have CM Punk just kick Ryback in the groin because that's clearly the way to beat him, and then he just chases Paul Heyman around the Hell in a Cell like 20 times, like it's something out of Benny Hill.
You know, Paul Heyman wouldn't make it past 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about Antonio Cesaro doing the giant swing on Paul Heyman.
Jeez, that'd be hilarious.
Now that you broke it down, make a pick.
Oh, jeez, where are we up to on this feud?
This is the rubber match.
This is the rubber match? Yeah, I'll give it to Punk.
Where's your heart leaning, Ace?
Oh, Punk in this one. Mind you, you know, as good as the mummification of Ryback stipulation is, I would have preferred, you know, you can't hit me.
There's a stipulation. If you hit me, you're disqualified.
Exactly! Why can't they do something like that? It's like, Ryback, if you hit me, you're disqualified. Which means I get the whale on Heyman for 20 minutes.
It's career versus career, and you're not allowed to touch me.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That could work. All right, Lindsay, where are you leaning?
I say Punk, but somehow Heyman lives to see another day.
Yeah, I gotta go with Punk as well. World Heavyweight Championship, Humberto Del Rio takes on the returning John Cena. Mace. Break it down.
Fuck it. Why is this match happening?
Because they need star power?
Uh, Yeah. So, the WWE writers ran out of things to do. They decided to not be creative and become completely lazy. It just so happened that John Cena was able to revive himself using the power of the sun once again, because we all know, Kryptonians heal pretty quickly. So instead of being out for at least 6 to 8 months, Cena's out for 2. So this time around, we have Superman, fucking literally, flying back in to save the company. And Alberto Del Rio sucks.
This is where we need the Superman theme playing.
Cena just needs to change that to his theme music and just be fucking done with it.
His next shirt should be a Superman shirt.
Dude, they're tempting fate with a new shirt. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no shit. It's even stronger or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. No, it's more of you can't stop me.
Yeah, and the way that these promos have been going, I think they're finally starting to embrace the idea of John Cena is fucking Superman.
Does that mean AJ's Supergirl?
No, she's still Harley Quinn.
Okay, fair enough.
But, it's just, Cena is just, like, I'll give him this. Dude can heal like a motherfucker. Like, seriously, 2 months out with something that will keep, us mere mortals out for 6 to 8 months? Either the dude has some amazing physical therapy guys, or we need to be extracting his blood to find out if he can really cure cancer. Like, I give the guy as much props as possible for his healing ability. It's just a shame that the second he walks back in the door, the writers just go, "We're going on autopilot! Cena wins."
But the production team, they were all on fire. So you're going John Cena?
How could you not? I challenge you here on this panel tonight and those listening, whether it be via archive or live, to give me a reason why Alberto Del Rio can beat fucking Superman. I challenge you. Because I can guarantee you're not going to find a logical reason.
The arm. The arm is how he beats John Cena. It's, he's coming back healthy, as he's saying. But once you get worn down in the ring, take shots at the arm breaker. That's how Del Rio can win the match. They kind of built it up last month with the chair gimmick. He's dangerous. He can break people's arms.
Yes, and remember how many other times it's like, Cena's hurt his neck, he's hurt his back. We're going to focus on that. No way!
Hey,
Cena power, away!
You asked for a logical reason. That's a logical reason.
I'll give you that. It's a logical reason. It is logical thinking. Is it going to work? Probably not.
never said it will work. I just gave you logic. So yes, work. You didn't say work.
Good.
You said logic.
I'll watch my wording next time. I'll phrase it better.
Yes. There you go.
Like the Big Show's contract. Is he fired or is he not? But by the way, speaking just quickly on the Big Show, next time I go to a WWE live event, I'm going to jump in the ring and start wrestling some of the guys, because supposedly having a ticket allows you to get in the ring.
I think it has to be signed by Daniel Bryan.
I think
that's the linchpin, because it was signed by Daniel Bryan, so I think that's like the go ahead and say so, is you have to have a ticket that's signed by Daniel Bryan. So everybody, next time Daniel Bryan is doing an autograph session, get him to sign your tickets for the show.
There you go.
Alright, so Mace is going John Cena. Lindsay, you're going?
I'm going to go with Del Rio. I say I was within the fact that Leo goes for the arm and he takes out Cena with the arm. It's going to come into play. They're building Cena up as Superman. The fact that he's coming back after this, supposedly horrible injury after only 2 months. And, they built these massive promos like he died or something, you know, and this is a huge return, which it is, to his credit, it is a huge return because he's not gone often, but, like, they're seriously acting like, you know, Cena's been gone for 2 years or something when he, as opposed to 2 months. So I think they're putting this huge build-up as a way to, you know, sort of help get Del Rio over more when he beats Cena. It's like, what's a better way to make Alberto Del Rio a credible threat than for him to take out John Cena in a particularly violent and brutal fashion, i.e. re-injuring his arm. So, and if that doesn't work, then, well, Del Rio's... But yeah, I'm going with Del Rio on this one.
I'll back Lindsay up on Del Rio, Omega.
I'm still stuck on this mental image of CM Punk just pointing his finger in Ryback's face going, is this bugging you? I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
That's what they do in the car after the show.
I'm going to look at this a little bit more objectively.
Curse you and your logic.
WWE is so behind whatever they are doing with Daniel Bryan and the WWE title, they decided not to put Cena back with the belt he is most known for. Del Rio desperately needs someone to feud with, and since Sheamus actually does not have Kryptonian magic, and they completely shit on all the popularity and heat that Ziggler built up, they needed someone. Cena just happened to get well, but we've got way too much invested in the WWE storyline to throw him back in there. You know what? What belt needs more credibility right now than the World Heavyweight Championship? And I'm sorry to say, Cena holding that belt would probably do that. That said, I'm giving him the win, but not the title. I think it's by DQ. I think Del Rio escapes through chicanery.
Ooh, fancy words.
He just won 30 points on Words with Friends.
You bastard.
And then it's your... main event inside Hell in a Cell.
I'm going to look at this a little bit more objectively.
Pursuing your logic.
WWE is so behind whatever they are doing with Daniel Bryan and the WWE title, they decided not to put Cena back with the belt he is most known for. Del Rio desperately needs someone to feud with, and since Sheamus actually does not have Kryptonian magic, and they completely shit on all the popularity and heat that Ziggler built up, they needed someone. Cena just happened to get well, but we've got way too much invested in the WWE storyline to throw him back in there. You know what? What belt needs more credibility right now than the World Heavyweight Championship? And I'm sorry to say, Cena holding that belt would probably do that. That said, I'm giving him the win, but not the title. I think it's by DQ. I think Del Rio escapes through chicanery.
Ooh, fancy words.
He just won 30 points on Words with Friends.
You bastard.
And then it's your main event inside Hell in a Cell. Special referee, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, where they guarantee there will be a new WWE champion. Stick with you, Omega. Tell us your thoughts.
God, it's hard to tell where they go with this one anymore. See, I really... Well, I really think Sean's past the point where he could heel turn and kind of and be, you know, be the crooked referee in this situation. I'm trying to figure out what angle works better, either Triple H forcing his best friend to count Brian down, or for Brian to actually finally win the belt. Because if I remember my original prediction right, this was the limit. If they don't smarten up and put the belt on Brian, they've really waited too damn long. And I'm giving it to Brian only because it looks like they're going to add the Big Show into this feud soon, and if they want Brian to have a threat toward retaining this belt that he finally got a hold of, having to deal with Randy Orton and the Big Show would be fairly insurmountable odds. I could see them doing that in storyline, doing whatever they can to get that belt off of Brian, them being Triple H and Stephanie, as well as the bookers going, well, now that he's got the belt, let's push him a little bit harder. Since they love stacking the odds against the champ.
So you're sticking Brian?
Yeah.
Brian? Wasn't sure halfway through you were, you know, going different directions. Lindsay?
I need to see Raw to be 100% sure on this, and I probably won't be 100% sure after Raw or SmackDown. So Kane Kittens heads up, this pick may change. I see Brian winning, which will help continue the feud just because I can see Hunter the next night on Raw going after Sean saying, you know, you were supposed to do what's best for business. You were supposed to put the belt on Brian, and Sean stands up to Hunter and basically disobeys Hunter, because we all remember what Hunter said, you know, Monday night, those who are disobedient, you know, will have to beg for their jobs or they'll be severely punished or whatever. And so there's that really big moment for Hunter and Steph of where Hunter turns on his best friend and has to punish his best friend. And you have Brian potentially come in and make the save for Sean. Where you really, it's kind of almost that moment for Hunter where it's, you have Hunter cross that line. And cross it in a big way. And really start to abuse the power by injuring Sean or by punishing Sean. But yeah, I see Brian going over in this case and finally winning the title because Sean wants to see what's best for everybody. But they could swerve it and put it on Randy Orton. But I more see Brian just because there are ways to continue the story with Brian winning the title, especially with Sean as the referee. So, Brian.
I'll back you up there. I kind of see them getting into a confrontation. Hunter and Sean come the next night on Raw. I'll say Brian making it a clean sweep, Mace.
Yeah, it's pretty much Brian wins, or I'm scheduling a fight to wherever the hell they're going to be on the following Monday night, and I'm going to put a shotgun to Triple H's head and pull the trigger. At this point, it's either give Brian the belt or just fucking give up on him completely. You're at, as Omega said, you're at the limit. You either put the belt on him or you drop him from the program completely. As for Sean being involved, I like a lot of what Lindsay has said. And the abuse of power can also be done to the point where we get a rematch on the Monday night between Brian and Orton. The belt's forcibly put on the line. Sean's back as the referee. And Hunter really pushes that Sean will do what's quote-unquote best for business. And you could see Sean giving a stamp of approval to Brian being the guy that fight back against the authority on the following Raw.
So, yeah, it's pretty much Brian or nothing at this point.
So there you go. It's a clean sweep. We'll have more picks from the other matches today and next tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. So keep an eye out on the Facebooks and Twitter. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.org and Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Send picks to media@WildTalkRadio.com as we will get you the full card come the rack either Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we end up doing the show at this point. But that being said, it is now time for the great debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute, it's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Now for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is a human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
And coming out of this week's Great Debate, our first matchup is the debuts of Mickey James taking on Fandango. Oh my God.
Trying to remember Mickey's now.
I figured you would remember Mickey's. It had to do with the, you know, her stalking someone.
Yo, yeah, I remember that. Oh boy, do I remember that. I'm sorry, now I'm stuck on it. You know what? I'm going with Mickey's because it wasn't Fandango's.
Help. There's a help thing in the production chat, by the way, guys.
Yeah, what happened to that? What happened to the little helper?
it requires more effort than Rock's willing to put into with his crappy internets at this point in time.
Exactly. I can't do much with crappy internet.
Okay, here's the thing. You start off Mickey James right, but you immediately involve her with the most important person in the division. And, you know, it is sudden for a character that she portrayed. It worked. Fandango, you know, when exactly did he debut? Was it when the vignettes started? Was it when they restarted? Was it when he actually showed up on camera, or was it like 2 months later when he fucking wrestled?
When he wrestled.
Okay, then. It still sucked. Guy had four debuts and all of them were disappointing.
So you're going Mickey James?
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Mickey.
Miss.
Sucker bitch.
Yeah, I'll agree. It's Mickey James, hands down. Up next, Kurt Angle's debut in WWE versus Bret Hart's in WCW. Mace, I'll let you go first.
Shit. Bret Hart's was pretty fucking lacklost, if I remember correctly. He came out during a title match and played
referee,
and he was a ref. Angle. I don't even remember angles. See, the thing is, like, here's the thing. In relation to Kurt Angle and debuts, the only thing I remember is Taz's debut with Kurt Angle. Okay, that's what I remember. I don't even remember Kurt Angle's debut.
The sad thing is, I remember his ECW debut.
Yeah. Yep. I remember his speech in ECW, yep. And then walking out later that night.
Uh-huh.
His WWE debut? Don't remember. And, yeah, so I guess only because I can remember it, Bret Hart? Bret Hart gets it on the fact that I can't remember Kurt Angle's introduction.
Just to spice things up, I'll go Kurt Angle, and then I'll throw it to Lindsay.
I'm going to go Kurt Angle as well, just because I've seen Angle's. I've never seen Hart's WCW debut, so Angle.
Alright, toodles law, and we now go to the Omega.
Now, Brett's departure was way more memorable than his debut. Yeah, you know what? Just based on who they were, Brett's was very underwhelming, and I can't say at least Kurtz was memorable, you know, but at least it was appropriate for who he was. Let's put it that way. Whereas Brett's really wasn't. All right, so we're going Angle.
So Kurt Angle advances over Bret Hart.
Soon as the Canadian gets his voice back, we're all going to get yelled at.
At some point. So Kurt Angle and Mickey James move on. Next week, the debuts of Brock Lesnar versus Santino Marella. And the debut of Rey Mysterio in WWE against Big Show's WWE debut. Next, my great debate. With that being said, it's now time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wait, anyway, would you, Lindsay, rather be a Scientologist or a Mormon?
I hate you. Can I just gouge my eyeballs out with a melon baller? Would that be easier?
No.
Honestly, I gotta go with Scientologist.
Why?
Because at least women are on an equal playing field in that religion. They're both a cash drain. They both brainwash you. But I guess one is more trendy than the other. I don't know.
Mace, if a taco and a grilled cheese sandwich approach a tall drink of water in a bar, who takes the drink?
The tall drink of water.
Why?
Because it's got arms and legs and it can walk itself away.
Okay. Omega, if you could be a dwarf, an elf, or a hobbit, which would you choose and why?
I, I'd probably go elf because I get to live a long time and I've always been partial to a bow.
Okay.
So you want to be pretty?
He's already got the hair for it.
This is true.
What do you mean wannabe?
So we just start, should just start calling you Legolas?
Pronounce it right.
Well, you're not actually Orlando Bloom, so you know we've got to, you know,
talk I'm not
between the two of you.
God, no, I've got so many business cards to replace now.
You're way more handsome than he is, okay?
Now you're just sucking up.
This week we're going to go back to Lindsay. Would you rather always take a cold shower or would you rather sleep an hour less than you usually do?
Sleep an hour less.
Why?
Because I could actually deal with sleeping it with an hour less as opposed to always taking a cold shower. Where I live, that would suck.
Mace, would you rather live in Fred Flintstone's world with George Jetson or George Jetson's world with Fred Flintstone?
First off, somebody's been watching Jetsons Meet the Flintstones.
Random.
Probably the Flintstones in George Jetson's world. Only because I'd say to the entire family, go walk Dino outside. then have to never deal with them again because they'd all be dead. And considering they'd also have the technology for time travel, I could also go back to Fred Flintstone's world at a later point if I choose.
Well, okay then. And finally to you, my guy. What happens when you finally catch them all?
You go to a little office where someone who actually worked on the game has made himself into a sprite. You tell him so, and then he gives you this fake certificate that you can't print out or show anyone. It's just a cheap little tchotchke in-game. Oh, you want a funny answer?
Yeah, it's a funny answer.
That's literally the shit that happens when you catch them all. No, you know what happens when you catch them all? You get depressed and you go play Digimon.
So basically you're playing Pokemon X and Y now.
Just because they're called Mega doesn't mean they're the same.
Yeah, let's not get overly geeky on this one. But I could sit here and debate this. Mega Evolutions, have you seen the way they transform?
Just little power-ups. They're not full transformations.
Right. And, you know, Kamen Rider's just putting on a suit.
Shut up.
So that would do it for quick hits.
Dude, I spotted a Kamen Rider in the fucking Gamera movie. Do you know how, like, over-geeked I am tonight?
Yeah.
And by the sounds of the music you should all be hearing right now, that does it for another edition of WTR Sunlight Live right here on All Talk Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow night for the World Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, covering everything you need to know about Monday Night Raw. Following that, on either Wednesday or Thursday, it's The Rack.
That's right. I may or may not be going to the Impact taping in Salt Lake City, depending on if I can get tickets or not at the stage, because, well, yeah, there's some shenanigans with that. So tune in, because we will be talking all about Thursday's Impact. We're going to be talking about Hell in a Cell. We're going to be talking about doing pick'ems. We've got news. We've got notes. We've got discussions. I'm sure you'll bring Wyatt mention or two or five. And buy the official Rock Radio Show t-shirt.
At prowrestlingtees.com/rockradioshow. Check out rockradioshow.com as well. Saturday Night Midnight is CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Subway, and Ace all decided to show up. It's the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Last night we talked about how Matt Gowner arrested over a penny because while the club gave him a penny with his, he charged him 1 penny more for his beer, and he thought it was being returned. It was all kinds of sold us, and could have just given him a penny. Let's check that out. Sunday night, we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Live at 11 p.m. Eastern, covering WWE Hell in a Cell. On Twitter at Wildtalk Radio, Facebook.com/ Wildtalk Radio Network. Omega, plug your stuff.
Let's see, you can find me at Twitter at TJ Omega. You can find me on YouTube as TJ Omega. You can check my website, tjomega.org, for all your video reviewing needs. Or you can follow me on Facebook at TJ Reviews. Because that's what TJ does.
You just put out a vlog, don't you, on the YouTubes?
Yeah, a friend of mine is doing the Extra Life 25-hour marathon. He's trying to help sick kids by playing games for your amusement for 25 hours straight. Yeah, check the vlog. The link's in there. Seriously, someone throw him some bucks because he's doing something really cool for sick kids.
And if you watch a Mega vlog, you can actually watch him play Pokemon.
Yeah, not the act. You can't see the gameplay, but you can see me play.
You can watch, like I said, you can watch you play Pokemon. Yes. Lindsay, plug your stuff.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. Check that out. You can go to my Behance, behance.net/LinsWard. The last of the Wyatt series went up today. That's right, Luke Harper is finished. So if you want to see the portraits of Harper, Rowan, and Wyatt, they're available on my Behance portfolio. And, yeah, go look at them, like them, and try and get the guys to retweet them because that would be awesome. You can also, you know, go to CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. And, of course, listen to The Rack every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Buy the t-shirt.
Buy the t-shirt. Thanks. Go.
Head over to WildTalkRadio.com where my latest edition of Ringside Resurrection is up. Other than that, I've got nothing else going on. Maybe video games sometime in the week. Keep an eye on the Facebooks.
I think we're out of time because I think the queue's about to come up. So, yeah, follow him on Twitter as well. That's amazing. So, for everybody, we'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.